This is episode 9, Packard Pokes At, the Apple Crashtacular. This episode of Packard Pokes At is sponsored by RCToyPalace.com for all your on-the-ground, in-the-water, or in-the-air, radio-controlled, nitro-gas, or electric hobby-grade Red Cat competition vehicles. Visit RCToyPalace.com today.
You're on in 3, 2, 1...
This is Packard Pokes At, and I'm poking at your news. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another fine episode of Packard Pokes At. Tonight, instead of doing our regular news-type show, we're going to do something a little special. Since we had the Worldwide Developer Conference out in Cupertino, it wasn't here in Wisconsin, obviously, we're going to cover all the Mac stuff. Well, not quite all the Mac stuff, but all the stuff that's come out since then on Monday. We got some really good... It's going to be just tech tonight, so... Put on your geek hats and put on your geek glasses and go. So we're gonna have a little bit of fun. We're just gonna kind of geek out tonight. A lot of other stuff that we normally do is just gonna be put on side, but it will be back next week, guaranteed. All right, and my clock is gonging behind me. So you know what time it is, obviously. It's the 9 o'clock hour here. But any stories we do tonight, or whenever you, well, it's tonight when we're recording this, but whenever you listen to us, it will be on the show notes at packerpokeset.wordpress.com. I can't do a tech show without my tech story, my tech sound. All right.
That was pretty awesome.
Thank you. All right. Our first story. Now, Apple has been pretty bold that we know of. You know, Apple Jobs stands up to everybody. I mean, he goes, when he went out to get the name for the iPhone, for example, if you all remember this story, he went into this meeting with these other people here, and he went to get the name iPhone, and halfway through the negotiations, he didn't like the way we were going. He get up and walked out. I mean, that's typical Steve Jobs. Mm-hmm. And he didn't back down. This is the first time in a long time I've ever seen Apple ever back down. They backed away from a subscription app that's outside the App Store. It just kind of like threw me. Like, why were they doing? What caused them to back away on this? I mean, I've never seen Apple really back down on new subscriptions or anything for that matter. But this, it was just kind of strange. Oh, by the way, before we get too far,
yeah, I was waiting for that.
My bad. I'm so excited to do these tech stories tonight. I completely forgot. On my right here, my virtual right, is Eric Laquette.
Hello.
And on my virtual left is Dan Johnson.
Hello.
And on our special guest hot seat is Michael Penny from the old PC Mac SmackDown. He's another Mac guy. And Eric, whether you know this or not, you're surrounded. Say hello to everybody. Say hello, Michael.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
All right.
You know, I'm really starting to feel as though this is quickly becoming like the male version of The View. The only thing I'm hoping for right now is I sound a whole lot better than Elizabeth Hasselbeck. Please let that happen.
There you go.
Both the same.
Yeah. Aww.
I get to be Whoopi.
I get to be the table. Anyway, the table's the most interesting part of the show. Anyway, gentlemen, what do you think about this? Eric, what do you think about this? Apple's back down on the subscriptions outside of the Apple Store.
You know, I think it's good. It was kind of one thing that I didn't agree with Apple on. I think, you know, you should have both methods of distribution. And the problem was not so much that they prevented people from selling outside, but how do you go and explain something like allowing the Amazon Kindle to maintain their buying items outside the App Store, and you know, here come these other apps, and they don't allow the same privileges. You know, it's like if you're going to have a rule, you have to have it the same for all, and it can't be one of these things that you think about applying the rule after it's been done. You know,
right.
and not necessarily like right after. I mean, a year or two after it's already been done.
Right.
I think that was a part of the problem. Now, as far as what you're saying about, you know, Steve Jobs backing down, you know, is this really Steve, or is this who's our new CEO right now, or who is the person in charge? Now that I need to think of his name, I can't think of it.
Wouldn't be Phil Schiller, would it?
No, it's not Schiller. It's oh my goodness, I'll look it up and I'll see. But
we'll find out the name and we'll put it in the show notes down at packerpokes@wordpress.com. But yeah, that's just. He's still partially involved in day-to-day operations.
Well, he's part. I mean, but to what extent? You know, it's kind of like. That's the question I have. To what extent is Steve Jobs involved? If
Tim
you know,
Cook.
Tim Cook, thank you. I think this is more of a Tim Cook kind of thing. I think what Steve is doing now is more along the lines of just you know
PR.
Overall vision. Well, I think the overall vision. You know, where are they going? What do they need to do? And final approvals.
But he's also the public face of Apple, which people absolutely adore and for some reason cannot do without.
Right.
Right. Well, I think what they're doing now, where they are starting to show a lot more other people around Apple whenever they do all their press conferences, I think that's very good because at some point Steve has to step down, you know. But
he's going to step down eventually. I mean, he's not the healthiest man in the world right now. I mean,
right.
If you saw him from what I understand, he just had a lot of. He looked very thin, very pale. Still, I mean, it's just. I mean. He's going to be gone before too long, and I just hope Apple can keep its direction even after the fact.
Well,
I think I'm in better shape than he is.
That's saying something.
Yep.
I mean, it's like I feel bad. I hope you know we manage to find something that will help Steve out. You know, because regardless of you know, I always enjoy the stories of Steve Jobs because everyone will tell you, you know. He's such, you know, he's a hard man. You know, he's a hard man to work for and he's a hard man to work with. But at the end of the day, everyone respects him and they know why he does what he does. And I
right.
think that's really what we need whenever it comes to people who are leading. And that's what I don't see as much with most leaders. You know, it's always like bottom line. Whereas with Steve, it's more like, yeah, he cares about the bottom. But the most important thing is we have this wonderful product. You know,
yes.
We are a place of ideas. What do we need to do to provide for our customers? And I think that's how people need to start picturing things, you know? It's like what Alex Lindsay says all the time. What does 90% of the population need 90% of the time? You know? And I think
water,
yeah.
A place to live.
But you know, but that's the thing, you know, and I just think, you know, he's a very good person. And so, like I said, I think this is a great thing. You know, it gives options, and you know, it's not necessarily Apple isn't going to necessarily lose money off of the thing. Yeah, they may lose a little bit, but the thing is that you know, if you do it with Apple, it's easier versus having them being directed someplace else. The reason why Amazon can get away with it is because they're a multi-million-dollar company. Some of these smaller independent companies, you know, it's easier for them to go through Apple because all of it's done, you know?
Right. Okay.
They don't got to deal with the distribution or anything
right.
like that. It's all taken
it's
care
all right
of
there.
For them.
Yeah, Apple is definitely the toy store. And speaking of toy stores, we got a nice little segue there. Race cars are not for just kids anymore.
Straight up.
Yeah, you betcha. They can be serious competition vehicles nowadays. If you're looking for a great place to get started on this exploring this wonderful hobby for your Red Cat competition vehicle needs, whether it's a car, boat, plane, helicopter, hovercraft, and I still want a hovercraft. Someone please buy me a hovercraft. Or construction models. All you need to do is go to rctoypalace.com and to find the right nitro gas or electric one for you. They have worldwide shipping is available, and you see, please go to rctoypalace.com for full details. All right, nice little.
I want a helicopter.
I want a helicopter too. I mean, I what I really want to do? I want to get one of all those, and then I just want to hold it above my head and see if it can pull me around. You know, I would just. I can fly to work. I wonder how many of those helicopters I have to buy to be able to do that. So. Does someone want to work out the numbers and see if they can make me a helicopter chair?
Yeah, try controlling them both at the same time.
Or all six of them at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
Eckard's going down! Ah! All right. Well, our next story here is kind of a strange one. Now, we know that in the computer industry that everybody has... did we lose somebody?
No.
Okay. Somebody got really quiet for a minute there.
Yeah, I'm hitting my mute button occasionally to save on noise.
Okay, very good. It scared me for a minute there. That all these industries, they kind of copy each other. Mm-hmm. When they copy from someone who submitted something to them, that's kind of snakeish, don't you think?
I think it depends.
Depends on the context. Give us something to go with.
Right.
All right. Now, in this instance, the iOS 5's Wi-Fi sync came from a rejected app submission. Now, this app has been on jailbreak phones. I've seen it. And they use the exact same logo and the same exact... Oh, what the heck? That's nice. Oh, my link just disappeared. Anyway,
I think I got enough now at least to know what you're talking about. Yeah. I can't speak to the logo, but yeah, exactly, Craig. It's not like this kid invented Wi-Fi syncing. the concept is not new. It's been around forever.
Right.
Again, I can't speak to Apple stealing logos, but it was coming.
Yeah. No, actually, I saw the picture of the logo, and if I find it again, I'll post them up on packetpokes@wordpress.com, and the logos are extremely similar. I mean, they got the circle around and the Wi-Fi symbol right in the center. I mean, it's almost exactly to a T, almost exactly, and it just blows my mind that they would do this. I mean, Apple, please don't be such a dink and steal this guy's thunder on this. This is just it's just wrong. It's just really just wrong. Eric, you spoke last time. Dan, what do you think of this?
You know, it's probably not Apple corporate that's at fault here. It's probably someone in their marketing department who probably has a jailbreak phone and has seen it. And it, you know, popped into his head when he was working on it, and it's his fault. And Apple's probably going to fire the guy for it.
Well, you know, the thing was, he submitted this app with that icon on it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And they rejected it. He got even a letter from them saying, well, they can't do it because of security issues. But they were like marveled from the article said when I did read it. It said that they were just amazed. They had several other developers looking at it too because they just really liked the technology behind it.
They should have hired the kid.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. They should have.
They should have done.
Yeah.
Craig says that they told them to send them a resume.
Really? Well, I hope. Yeah. I really hope that they either hire him or compensate him one way or the other. I mean, this is, come on, Apple. This is kind of snakeish. Really. I mean, I enjoy your products. And I know that stealing from back and forth between you and Microsoft have gone over the years, like...
It's almost expected.
Exactly. It's expected. But if you're stealing from the little the people who are going out of their way, the little people, and it's I'm sorry, it's just snakish.
Yeah, there's the link in the...
But the other thing, too, I mean, this was a standalone app that went in and synced things wirelessly, right? Apple's building it in to the operating system.
Right, but it's still the thing is Wi-Fi sync it's like you said earlier, the Wi-Fi sync isn't a new technology that came out yesterday.
From what I understand, they've only stolen the logo?
Right, that's what the issue is. And you know...
You can build a lot over just a logo.
Yeah, I've seen similar logos before. I mean, it still doesn't give Apple the right, you know, and this is, and I fault Apple on taking the logo, because it does look very, very similar to each other. So, I mean, that's just me.
All right, anyway, Sorry for the interruption there, folks. We had a little technical snafu. When don't we have a technical snafu? When we start, ever since we started doing these shows live, we've had nothing but technical snafus. The mech gods hate me. No,
I'm still sticking by what I think it was Craig said earlier. If nothing goes wrong, then it's not a podcast.
That's right. Especially mine. All right. We were talking about the Wi-Fi sync, I believe. The icon was basically stole. Basically, they stole the icon, and I mean, you could basically build. As I recall, someone had said that you could build. I tried to say it anyway. That you could build a whole. You could build a whole business just around a logo, for example. Mm-hmm. So I mean, look at Apple, for example. That's basically their logo, and everybody recognizes that logo wherever you go. I mean,
well, I think Craig said it best in so much that, you know, all the logo really is it's really two pieces of pictures. It's one of them is the kind of like the icon for internet connectivity on the app on Macs.
Right.
So that's already been done by Apple. And then I was looking up at all my icons, and, you know, the little sync is something, it looks very similar to the sync that was already on there long ago. So, you know, really and truly, you could say that he may be borrowing two of the icons from Apple.
Right.
You
know? Yeah,
I mean, I've got put them together.
I've got the MobileMe sync set up on mine, and those two icons are right next to each other on my little icon bar up at the top, and if you just put them together, then...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's... I still think it's, well, we should really kind of rehash this since we got cut off there. But anyway, yeah, I think I think it's still a little snakish overall. So, all right, we'll go on to our next story here before the system decides to snafu on us again here. Let's see here. Now, we won't do that one. This one here. It's Apple is getting predatory in the pricing of their operating system. The Lion is coming out for what? I think it's like $30.
$29.99. Microsoft has no excuse anymore for selling Windows for $250.
Right, exactly. And they're basically cutting into Microsoft's bottom line on this. I had a little chat with Michael on Facebook the last couple days about this. Now, since they've dropped the word Mac from the OS. Now, I know Cal had gone, we said this on the PC Mac Smackdown, that Cal doesn't want to see the OS on the other platforms, the Mac or the PCs. And since they've dropped the word Mac from the operating system, the name of the operating system, what would stop Apple from continuing to improve the operating system to maybe even become like the iOS on our desktop, for example, and then allow the Windows users to have the older versions of the, or at least not have, but I mean, sell them to them really cheap like this, to have the OS, the Mac OS, on those PC platforms. I mean, they're basically running on the same hardware now. It's all Intel. I mean, do you think Steve is, since he's trying to always have these issues with people making, you know, what's the word I'm trying to think of? Trying to, you know, make these deals. Do you think that he's trying to make his own deal and make his own inroads into the PC market by maybe from an underhanded point of view? What do you think, guys?
I don't think so. I don't think he's trying to sneak OS X into the generic PC market. I think he wants to keep it on Apple hardware just as much as I'd like to see them keep it on Apple hardware. We did talk about this on Facebook, but I had mentioned on Facebook that I want to see them develop their own silicon and make their software dependent on that silicon, because I like the fact that OS X runs so seamlessly with the Apple hardware.
Yeah.
Because it knows what to expect. That software knows every possible component that a Mac can have, and it knows how to interact with all those components perfectly. And as soon as you open up that hardware floodgate, you get Windows 2.
Yeah.
It would only be a matter of time.
Yeah, now our other resident geek here, Dan, he's actually running the Mac OS in a virtual machine window. Dan, would you like to tell us about how you're doing that?
It has some issues with Mac OS X. I use VirtualBox from Sun, and well,
good program.
Sun Oracle now to run virtual machines. Primarily, I have a couple Windows software packages that I like to use that I can't run under Wine. I have a Windows 7 virtual machine. I have a Windows 2000 virtual machine, Windows Server 2003.
So what's your actual operating system?
I'm using Ubuntu Linux right now. Probably 6-7 years.
And, Dan's a hacker.
Yes, yeah. He is. He is quite the hacker. He really is.
Mac OS X, it took a long time to install.
That's what I did.
It runs very slow on a virtual machine.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I'd imagine so. It did take... Well, because it's running so slow on the virtual machine, it probably explains why it took so long for it to install. I mean, it takes... when I put on Snow Leopard on here, it takes about an hour to put it on. I mean, in the past...
Oh, well, then it wasn't as slow.
Well, roughly. Of course, I was messing with my machine, and I had to redo mine about 5 times.
Not to mention, how old is your Mac Mini?
Well, actually, this one is not that bad. I mean, it's an 80 gig...
old is it?
It's a core. It's a single core. No, it's a core
dual.
How
old is it?
I don't know off the top of my head. I'd have to look.
It's
that old. Grandma, come on in the box.
I got my MacBook Pro. I ordered it the day Leopard was released.
Oh, nice.
So it's pushing 3.5 years now.
Yes.
And it still runs beautifully. It's got its share of hiccups now in its old age, but it still runs. And installing Snow Leopard on it, it was about what I expected. It was, you know, a little under an hour.
Yeah.
But again, I'm running on 3.5-year-old hardware.
Yeah, mine's got to be at least that old. I mean, it's 3, maybe 4 years old.
I guess my experience with it wasn't all that extraordinary then. I don't have it where I'm connecting to the App Store and downloading a bunch of stuff. I just checked out a couple of things, you know.
Right.
Safari works just fine.
Not a heavy user like we were, like us Mac guys are, basically, right? I mean, into your Mac virtualization. I mean, that's what I'm saying. But otherwise, yeah, I would say, yeah, you are a heavy app program user outside that. Window, but I mean, inside that window, you just did a few things.
Yeah, well, and primarily, there's nothing that I need to run right now that I need to run inside of a Mac.
Yeah,
you know, as opposed to there are a couple programs that I really want to continue using that I can only use in reality on a Windows-based machine.
Right,
and that's why I have the virtual machines there.
Right. Okay.
The Mac is pretty much just to, I guess I can do this.
I've been trying to get people to move over to Mac, and I said, well, I know people that would want to do that, but they wouldn't have the PC. And it's like, well, I could probably make you a Hackintosh, but it's going to take time.
Actually, the user interface experience, any of you guys would be able to sit down at my computer here at my desk and be very comfortable with the user interface because it is very Mac-like.
Oh, that's nice. That's
you mean
nice.
The way you have your Ubuntu set up?
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's what we talked about whenever I first found out you use Ubuntu. I had an experience with Linux, and at the time, I think Linux has gotten better since whenever I use it. But, you know, for me... Whenever you have to install things and all that good stuff, it was very, very difficult. And unless you know programming commands and stuff like that.
Sudo make install.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's...
Well, yeah, I do that occasionally. But it's to the point now where you click on a thing, which is kind of like, you know, using the App Store. It's like, okay, click here. I want to go and give me the software center. Click here.
In those, what are they called, repositories?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
It's become mostly point and click.
Oh yeah, very much so.
Cool.
I suppose it would also depend on your distribution, right? Like that's Ubuntu, but I mean I've used Suzy Linux, and I think I've seen Red Hat and stuff like that, and they all do it differently, right?
Yeah, and some of that it's like the desktop interface that you want to use. Right now I'm using GNOME. And like I said, it's set up very Mac-like. KDE is...
much more Windows-like, right?
Yeah.
I remember that.
And I didn't really like it all that much. So, you know, I'm back to GNOME.
Well, who does?
The new Unity interface that they introduced, I wasn't terribly impressed with. And it's one of the quickest things I did was go back to GNOME.
All right, well...
that's all beside the point. But let's just say that I have no problem using a Mac because of the user interface is very friendly.
Oh yeah, that's the nice thing about Mac. The interface is very user friendly. Unfortunately, there's always somebody out there that's trying to sue Apple. I mean, the lawsuits back and forth are always going on. I mean, now since we had talked about this towards the beginning of the podcast, that Apple was getting sued about or in the negotiations over the iCloud. Well, apparently, there's another company out there that's called iCloud Communications is now suing Apple over the iCloud trademark.
Yeah.
Let's introduce this nice little icon, and we'll call it the iCloud. And some guy's going to go, that's my logo. You can't have that. My name. Okay, let's go get some money, people. Wow.
Wait, they didn't steal this iCloud company's logo, did they?
No. It's just the name.
Okay. It's just the name. Just
making sure.
Yeah, no. If they had stolen the well, who owns copyright to the word to a picture of a cloud? I mean, it's a puffy item. I mean, there it's in the sky. If I look at the if they're going to make us pay for trademark over clouds, I mean,
day and age, I bet you if you took a telescope and looked up on the cloud, it would say copyright 2009 Mother Nature.
I was going to say something along those lines. I was going to say, if every time I look at the cloud, do I have to pay Apple royalties?
But, you know, the thing about correct me if I'm wrong, whenever it comes to copyright and all that good stuff, isn't it one of those situations where it's like, yeah, I have to have a similar product along with the name where I can you know, it's like iCloud Communications is VoIP.
Right.
Nowhere in
Apple's iCloud. They do apparently have some data storage facilities that also, so...
Yeah.
I looked on the website and... Here's what I see on the website. iCloud Communications. Mm-hmm. It says Business VoIP Services, and they sued over the name iCloud.
Yeah, this is not the first time Apple has had an issue with a similar name. When they came up with Mac OS X, there was an older company that had the name OS X. But they didn't make software. They didn't make an operating system, but they were suing over the name. I thought these kind of name games were behind us, but
well, you know, I'm reading like one of the forums, and someone makes a very valid point, because iCloud Communications, they had ample time to work with the CloudMe, the original owners of the iCloud domain,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't do anything.
Well, you know. Think about it. All right, let's go back. We're going to kind of go back in time while someone's opening up their aspirin. shake the pills. Oh, hang on. Oh, I forgot what I was talking about there. The
iCloud Communications.
Right, iCloud Communications. Now, I had mentioned that that they had been sued by OS X and everything like that. I was just reading through these notes here on the website here. I was just going to comment on something else, and it just completely slipped my mind now. Oh my goodness, I need a better, I need a bigger brain or something with more memory. It's just, this is really strange. Okay, you guys, anything else you want to say on this? Because I can't think what I was going to talk about now.
You mean say something else on the fact you need an extended mind?
Yeah.
I believe they had a brilliant XKCD comic about that.
Yeah. Oh, this is just not my
bonus night. Points for the chat room if you can find the comic I'm talking about.
Yeah, there you go. Recommend AOL to somebody who needs insanity. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, there you go, Michael. All right. Anyway, the whole this whole thing is just completely bonkers. I mean, they need to, these places need to grow up and stop suing over names. I mean, I'm surprised the Mother Nature hasn't sued Apple over the name of their operating system, Lion.
Well, hang on. You were just saying earlier that you can build a whole company around a logo. You could, that obviously extends to the namespace as well.
Yeah, I suppose so. I suppose you could do that. Yeah, that would make sense.
I mean, to be fair, Apple's name is just as popular as Apple's logo,
right?
Or just as recognizable.
Yeah, that's true.
And these iCloud people, or these people who originally had OS X or OS X,
mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they were trying to make a name for themselves. I mean, just to be fair.
Yeah, no, that's a very valid point. That's a very valid point.
Just say it.
No, that's a very valid point. But the thing was, they're in a totally different space. I mean, who would think if you heard OS X that you were thinking of either a computer corporation or these? I forget what the OS X corporation was that had the name before it had. And I don't even think they were in business very long, or they just weren't very successful. It's so long ago now. But anyway. Before I lose my mind completely here.
Yeah, what's next?
All right. We're talking about... So let's see here. We've got... Oh, here we go. iOS 5 that's coming out will be now able to transmit album and track data artists to your Bluetooth audio device. Now, that's kind of interesting because the fact is you're going to be able to see... if you have, I'm not trying to think what kind of devices you'd be actually looking at. I mean, I have a Bluetooth headset for my phone, and it doesn't tell me the track artist or anything like that. But I suppose if you're using it in your car, then you'd want to see what the track is. That'd be one way. This way you can send it to there, and this way you don't have to sit there randomly click around trying to figure out what you're playing, I suppose. But I mean, for what I've got, it's just headset. But that's real simple stuff. Your thoughts, gentlemen?
It's about time.
Yeah.
About time. It's something that really doesn't impact me at all. I mean, I have an MP3 player.
Right.
And it plays MP3s, and that's it.
Oh, that's good.
You know, and the display tells me what tracks it's playing.
Nice. Well, yeah, yeah.
You know, that's it. I'm fine with that, you know?
Yeah, it's not like that little thing that Apple came out that's about the size of a stick of gum. You couldn't tell what was on it. And you're more likely to swallow it than actually be able to.
Second generation iPod Shuffle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But no, it's, you know, I don't like the all-in-one kind of things.
Yeah. I can understand that. It gets more complicated then.
See, I'm the opposite. I live on my iPhone. I mean, I have a MacBook Pro I'm using here right now to be in the chat room, but I mean, I'm Skyping over my iPhone. I mean, Packard and I were playing with Skype earlier and the best sound quality was through my iPhone.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was funny.
And with the new stuff that they're doing with iOS 5 and with iCloud, it's going to make it a heck of a lot easier to do what I do with my iPhone.
Yeah.
And like it's everything. I mean, it's my phone, it's my iPod. I listen to music and watch videos on it. Facebook, Twitter, email. I do email a lot on the iPhone. And all-in-one devices work really well for me, and it just depends on what your usage case is and what you need your device to do.
Right. Yeah, and speaking of Twitter, that Apple is integrating Twitter into the iOS.
That surprised me.
Yeah.
That really surprised me.
Yeah.
It's cool, but it really surprised me. I didn't think they would do something like that.
You know, it's really interesting that several months ago that Twitter had basically told everybody, hey, we don't want you using our API to develop anymore. Don't develop anything for our API anymore. Basically, they turned their back on all the people. They made Twitter possible. And now, since Apple had decided to build it right into the OS, maybe I'm just seeing a connection now that maybe they had made a deal with Apple at that time and said, but said, if you want us to put your Twitter into our phone, you have to kill the APIs to all these other places.
I don't think so.
That's a little heavy-handed, even for Apple.
Well, I don't know.
Twitter did purchase TweetDeck. Well, announced that they purchased TweetDeck shortly after that. And, you know, I think one of the reasons that they, you know, wanted the development to go on in the mass quantities that it did, they wanted things to fall out and see who they thought was best for them to buy.
They bought Tweety, too.
Yep.
That's what the iPhone app is. That's what the Mac app is.
Yep.
And Tweety hasn't been the same since.
That did go downhill a little bit, because I had it before they killed it, and it would do link shortening, or it would expand out if you could. You would go right into Tweet Longer or whatever their service was, so you could keep on going. You could actually finish a thought because you weren't limited to the 140 characters. But now, if everybody's going to be able to create iOS apps and work off of Apple's API, which is basically backhanding Twitter's API. So, so you're still getting, Twitter's still going to get these apps based on their API, but it's going through Apple now. So who really is losing here? I mean, is it Twitter?
I think we just returned to the status quo.
The what's that?
The status quo.
Yeah, basically. But the only difference is it's not being developed. There won't be able to be developed for these other services that are just web based. Like Twitter also bought TwitPic, I believe, wasn't it, or something like that? Or they came out with some of their own version of the TwitPic. Basically, it was just.
Well, isn't it built into Twitter?
No, I don't think so. I know they came out with their own version because everybody had made up their own version so they could upload videos and pictures and things like that. But anyway. Moving on to the next part of this next story here. Now, since we're talking about the iCloud and everything, now this is really interesting, and it doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense. Now, we know that Apple, Android, Kindle, whatever, they have a function in them where they can reach into your phone if something's wrong with an app or whatever, they've rejected it. They can potentially, and Kindle has done this. They've actually redacted a book from people's Kindles. They reached into people's Kindles and removed a story. I forget the name.
Yanked it out.
Yeah, yanked it
out. I remember that.
Yeah. I don't remember the name of the book off the top of my head.
1984.
Yeah, that's it. 1984. Mm-hmm. And it was one other one, but I forget which. Anyway, they were able to do this. Now, iTunes, the cloud, allows re-downloading of apps that Apple has removed from the Apple Store. From the App Store, excuse me. Now, if they've removed apps from the App Store and basically redacted them, why would they let them be able to stay up in the cloud so you can just download them again?
Because it's something that a customer had previously purchased. They have a right to that software.
Oh, I suppose so. But, I mean, these people also bought that book, that 1984 book, and people just yanked that. They just yanked that back.
Well, the issue with the software, and it's not all software, it's just some of it, but the issue with the software is it wasn't copyrighted material. It's just it didn't fall under Apple's guidelines and what Apple wanted to produce.
Right.
Or it has a feature that Apple didn't want people to have. The issue in 1984 was that the book publishing rights was owned by another company.
Ah,
and
okay,
a secondary company started publishing the books that they weren't supposed to. So that was the issue there. So that's why it was pulled, is because a company was profiting off of someone else's property.
Ah, that makes more sense then. That makes a heck of a lot more sense.
Yeah, but the argument is that the consumers have purchased it in good faith.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And
so
I think,
in theory, they have every right to that material.
Right. And
be
I think
it software or a book or.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying Amazon, you know, said that from now on they're not going to ever do something like that again. But I think didn't they give them like a credit or something like that?
I
think so.
Yeah.
I think they tried to make reparations for what they did.
They certainly did prove that the 1984 thing, when they pulled that book off the people's Kindles, I mean, and they apparently it's messed up people's
notes.
Yeah, their notes, and some girl had a report or something, and it yanked that out too. But
it was I remember hearing about that actually.
Yeah, it was I couldn't believe that. So anyway, on to our next show. This might be a short, actually might be a not real short show, but it might be actually almost an hour show for a change. Now, who here has not heard of Richard Dreyfuss? Raise a hand. Nobody? Anybody?
Me. I have not heard of him.
Close Encounters.
Close Encounter of the Third Kind. Jaws. What About Bob?
Greatest movie ever.
That movie is epic. If you've not seen What About Bob, please do. You're doing yourself a huge disservice by not watching The American President. But if you're not doing yourself a great disservice to see Bill Murray and Richard Dreyfuss both in their both comedic views on this. It's just amazing. But anyway, the reason I mention this, and I don't mention celebrity news on the show very often or rarely at all, except in this instance, Richard Dreyfuss has actually read in different voices the iTunes EULA, the end users license agreement, and they are quite funny. This one is called Damages. I'll play this for you. We're going to record this into it.
This Apple software is not intended for use in the operation of nuclear facilities, aircraft navigation or communication systems, or air traffic control systems, or life support machines, or other equipment in which the failure of the Apple software could lead to death, personal injury, or severe physical or environmental damage.
I'm sorry, but I can't see anybody using a Macintosh in a nuclear facility. I mean,
you say that.
I say that now.
But I cannot imagine anyone using a blow dryer in a bathtub. But yet they seem to have those little notices on there saying not to use this in a bathtub.
Do not
hold the phone. Hold the phone.
Do not.
I would trust a nuclear missile to Apple before I would trust one to Microsoft.
Yeah, definitely. Here's another one. I won't play all these. You got to go to the website at packerpokes@wordpress.com. The link is there. Enjoy these on your own. But
hang on one second before you play that. I'm going to channel Cal here for a second.
Okay, go ahead.
And I've got a quote from him from way back in the SmackDown when he and Bo were on it.
Oh, all right. Please do.
If Microsoft made a car, would you be comfortable putting your kids in it? He was trying to compare the reliability of the software.
I remember that one.
And he made a really valid point at the time, and Apple stuff is pretty robust. No, I don't think I don't think it'd be my first choice for a nuclear missile silo, but given the options available, unless I have somebody to write, mission critical heavy Unix solid software.
Right.
I'd sooner trust Apple than anybody else.
Well, they should be using it over in Iran or whatever, because they kept getting their computers hacked over there. I'm going to play one more, but there's four in all, but you should really go over and check this out. Here's the next one here.
License is effective until terminated. Your rights under this license will terminate automatically without notice from Apple if you fail to comply with any terms of this license. Upon the termination of this license, you shall cease all use of the Apple software and destroy all copies, full or partial, of the Apple software. Thank you.
Hail Jobs! Hail Jobs! Hail Jobs!
You wouldn't want Stephen to get angry now, would you?
Oh, that is just... He He does this so well. I mean, I was listening to Leo Laporte on one of his podcasts, and he says you could just see Steve in his mind the way this is written up. This is how he's reading it. Oh, this is just—it's just too funny, just too funny. There's just—I never thought anybody could make a EULA sound funny, but sure enough, there it is.
Hey, you know, if Apple hired him to voice over their EULAs, I might actually sit through and read them.
There you go.
if there was ever an incentive to sit through a EULA and actually absorb the content, I think that would be it.
Well, maybe we should get. I don't know if he's got a Twitter name, but if he does, we should get him to just read all of it and just in all his voices that he comes up with, and that would. I would actually. You know what? I probably would sit there and go, "Really? It says that?"
Well, who here? Okay.
I was going to say.
Raising my hand, I'm a bad person. Who here actually reads EULAs?
My hand's not going up.
No, I don't read them.
I didn't think so.
Not me.
So we have a unanimous across the board. Give a crap.
Like I was saying the other day, you know, it's like you have one of two things. Either you don't agree to the EULA and don't get the software, or you agree to the EULA and get the software. So it's kind of like, you know, if you don't agree with it, then you just can't get the software. You know, it's like they almost program it in there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way you could say, oh, I want the software, but no, I don't agree to the terms and services. I don't want you to use me as some kind of guinea pig for future testing of your product, or I don't want you to know what I'm doing with your product. I mean, that's my decision.
Right. Or you don't want to be attached to the behind of somebody else.
And that's right.
That brings up an entire other issue, though. You know, there can be things in the EULA that some people might not agree to, but they don't read them, and they just click yes anyway, and then something comes back to bite them in the butt.
Yeah. And then the complaint says, did you read your EULA? Yeah, sure I did. Then you would have noticed in line paragraph one, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that episode of South Park, the Apple episode.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to. There's like, that, why won't it read?
Chaos Agent in the chat room says a game company a few years ago occluded in their EULA the person getting their game, giving them their soul.
No, oh, that's nice. Nice.
She'll have a link coming up in the chat room for it right away.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait.
Chaos Agent, send me the link over Twitter. I have my Twitter actually shut down. I'm not sure if that was the cause, but I've got all kinds of weird things going on. I didn't do anything all week, and now it decides to get shy. It's really strange. Now,
well, you were having Twitter issues earlier, weren't you?
Yeah, I was actually having some Twitter issues earlier. I mean, I think it was my cable company. I would get disconnected, and then I just couldn't get online. I don't know. It was just all kinds of weird stuff going on over here. It's just bizarre. I didn't have to restart the computer because it froze up. This is the first time it froze up all week. So,
well, it was odd too because it's not like it was just your computer, because it wouldn't let me DM you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I couldn't send out a DM or anything else like that.
You couldn't receive a DM. I couldn't send it to you. Twitter said no. I don't think so.
Yeah, I think Twitter was having a nervous breakdown again because iOS 5 was coming up from behind, and it's going
to... Or maybe it has to do with your 140,000 tweets.
Yeah.
Now this guy's got to slow down. Our servers can't handle Packard Sonic. It's ridiculous.
I think I have probably the most tweets. I don't know if I have the most tweets, but I have quite a number of them for just the most short amount of time that I've got. Now, we'll cover one more quick story here, and then I think we might cut out because... who's running a botnet? It says botnet. I'm running your system off. Thanks, Chaos. Thanks, Chaos Agent. No wonder my computer's running slow. Anyway,
hey Chaos, can I have access to that?
No kidding.
Apple is describing Amazon's Apple App Store as inferior, and they are inferior, and a security threat. Of course, Apple's going to say that. Why wouldn't they say that? They don't want you using their App Store. to get apps. I mean, before this app store was created, you could get apps anywhere. I could go.
You still can. It's not like they're forcing you to go through the app store unless a developer has pulled their stuff off the internet.
Yeah, there's actually another one. It's called Whistlephone. You get a free phone number. They used to be able to forward their phone number to a cell phone or whatever. They did this all for free, but they just recently stopped doing that. Your phone calls are limited to 20 minutes. If you want to get it forward, you have to pay them. Yada yada yada. But I had to go I went to go re-download this and said, "Oh, you got to get this through the App Store now." It's like I didn't have to do that before, so it kind of like, oh, well, I had to grab the old copy and put it back on the phone there. But there's a lot of other sites like versiontracker.com, for example. It's a great site. You should check it out. They handle more than just the Mac stuff. They have Windows stuff there too. But
were you talking about iPhone apps or Mac apps?
Mac apps.
On your phone?
I think this is for just Mac apps. They're not for iPhone apps. These are just Mac apps. Yeah, this is a Mac download store. It's a Mac app store, yeah. This is for, yeah, these are just for applications for your Macintosh instead of applications for the phone. I mean, you can't legally buy iPhone apps at any other store. Or any other place. Now, legally, now, the people who have jailbroken iPhones, like mine, you can get them through a third party that way via a Google checkout or however they've got it set up. And I actually bought one off there myself to get a function to my phone that I wanted. But it works really well.
Well, aren't there popular sites for that, too? Like, there's one, I can't think of the name of it.
You're talking like
For jailbroken apps.
Oh yeah, you're talking about App Tracker.
Nope.
No.
Help me out, chat room. Jailbroken iPhone app stores.
Cydia.
Cydia. Yes, that's where I was. Oh yeah, yeah. But there's these are also jailbroken. Yeah, apps. They're out on. It's called App Tracker. But they basically these are stolen apps. I've seen the site. That's as far as I'm going to say. I've seen the site. But anyway, yeah, no, they have Ancydia. Yeah, you can buy apps there, and that's the one I was talking about. You can buy them through these developers who go through Google Store and they develop, get it put on your phone. The only problem is if you have, you know, you have to reset to a new phone or whatever, then it doesn't. It goes to your IM number or whatever, IME number. So you have to rebuy it again, which kind of sucks. But anyway, anything else, gentlemen, that you want to talk about regarding Apple's all this Apple stuff that came out this week? Anybody
go
have
buy a Mac, get Mac OS line and iOS 5 and be happy.
Here you go. And someone buy me a new Macintosh. I need one.
Yes, please, please.
Build your own Linux machine and don't pay a penny for the operating system or software.
Well, at $30, not that bad, not that bad. I'd sell for $30 for an operating system. I mean,
free isn't bad either.
No, free is not bad, but you do get what you pay for sometimes. And I know this for a fact.
Well, like I said, yeah, I don't recommend Linux for most people.
Right.
Unless you've got somebody that you can go to and say, hey, this happened. Can you fix this?
Right. Exactly. All right. Well, then I think, it's 10 o'clock. Well, we're with the little issues we've had. We're still running under an hour. Last thoughts, gentlemen?
I have no thoughts. Awesome.
Eric, I'm going to keep that one.
Now watch, every time you say my name, that's going to come right after it. Every time we start going into politics, that's going to be the first thing to come in.
I may have to add that one to this. I may have to add that to our politics thing there. And you're like, politics, politics. I have no thoughts. That's going to make it sound so much better now. anyway, you can find the show notes at peckerpokesat.wordpress.com. You can, if you have a question for us at the show, you can find that on I've forgotten what the name of it is. Formspring. Formspring.com/PackardPokesAt. You can find the show on Twitter at PackardPokesAt, all one word. You can find me on Twitter as Packard_Sonic. That's PACKARD_SONIC. You can find Eric on Twitter as
ELUQUE1696.
Right. And you can find Dan on Twitter as
Relatively unrelated. That's RELUNRELATED.
Right. And you can find our special guest tonight, Michael Penny, on Twitter as
at MRYPEN. Don't expect much.
He does not tweet a lot, folks. He does not tweet a lot.
I do occasionally get on, but it's usually to, you know, look at things.
Right.
I'm trying to use a little more. I've been resistant. I only just recently got back into using Facebook.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you were on at least this week, so you could at least get on to chat with me a little bit here and get on the show tonight.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
All right. Anyway, who's normally out there in our chat room would be Zach's Mind, but he is not with us tonight, unfortunately. But you can find him on Twitter as ZACH. SMIND, I believe, if I'm spelling that correctly, and check him out as well. He's a very smart man. So, all right, I would like to again thank everybody in the chat room for sticking around, even though we did have some issues tonight. And we will be again back to our regular format next week. Thanks for coming by. Have a wonderful evening, day, whatever, whenever you listen to this.
And that's a wrap.